Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, first in the Northern California Bay Area, world famous juggler, Greg Larson. How are you doing this week, Greg?
Oh, man, doing all right. I feel like I'm going to have to get a canoe because it's raining so hard and flooding in the area. But I'm doing a rock dance to try to get it to stop. And other than that, things are great. How about yourself, Ozzy?
I'm good. Now, just in case anybody's listening to this on November 1st, we are recording this on October 24th, which there was torrential downpour in the Northern California Bay Area. So in case anybody's like, well, I was just seeing that everything was fine. Just in case. And also with us, Flesh Wound producer Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good evening. Good evening. I know Ozzy's in a better mood than last week.
Yeah, I am in a much better mood.
I don't know.
Because I actually saw a real movie this time where people were trying to entertain me. How about that? That's a concept instead of entertaining themselves. Anyway. I'm sorry. There's some residual left over. Anyhow. But this week we're going to clean the palate by watching this, or rather reviewing and discussing the classic Ghostbusters, released on December 12th, 1984, with a runtime of 1 hour and 45 minutes, directed by Ivan Reitman, written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. Also uncredited was Rick Moranis, because a lot of his dialogue as Lewis Tully was done on his own. Todd, if you would please do the honor and air the trailer for us.
Absolutely.
Ghosts.
Hello, Ghostbusters.
They're real.
You do? You have?
They're here.
We got one!
Ghostbusters.
Hey, anybody see a ghost?
They catch the ghost that won't stay dead. They're armed. They're dangerous.
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
All right, that's bad. Okay, all right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
They're professionals.
Oh, I'm the chairman of the largest paranormal removal company in America.
You see it?
They're all that stand between you and the end of the world.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the sky.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Your girlfriend lives in the corner penthouse of Spook Central.
You want this body?
Is this a trick question?
Stick. Hold.
Hit him up.
Smoke him.
Swing him hard.
Ready.
Ghostbusters. Starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis. Coming to save the world. Ghostbusters.
We came, we saw, we kicked it.
What the deuce? What? How come the trailer cuts off the line?
Because it's a trailer for all audiences.
Man. Anyway. In case you did forget, the line was, we came, we saw, we kicked its ass. But
the television version, I can't remember what it was, but I remember when it came on. I was like, what was this?
We came, we saw, we won. Oh, wow.
No, it was like a totally different line. It was a complete outtake, not even close.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah. I want to say it's on deleted scenes. I've seen it somewhere else. Maybe it was on YouTube.
Well, we haven't Okay, so I was just looking on the back of this Blu-ray that I had got right here, this packaged Ghostbusters 1 and 2 Blu-ray that's like just $10, actually contains tons of extra content for the original Ghostbusters, including feature commentary. Yes, Todd.
That I should have made sure you were able to see him. I forgot the 4K set has like all the additional deleted footage, which is probably where I saw it. Remember the newly found the ghost sex scene?
Oh, it's, yes.
So.
Well, there you go. Now, just initial thoughts on this film. For me, oddly enough, I actually saw the second one before I saw this one.
Which is why you like the second one.
I think it actually is the case, because had I watched this one, I would have hated the second.
Oh my, yeah.
Just like Todd, like you.
There's only one good Ghostbusters as of today.
We'll talk about that at the end. We'll have a little Ghostbusters afterlife discussion. Greg, I just called to you, but you just walked off the screen.
Sometimes you got to get a beer. It happens.
Oh, I'm right here. Don't worry.
How about some initial thoughts? Oh, I see what's happening here. We got a Slimer jersey.
Oh, yes.
Oh, excellent. I see the slime. That's dope.
Which, speaking of Slimer, quick note, Dan Aykroyd had referred to Slimer as the spirit of John Belushi.
Yeah.
So that was like the kind of idea behind it. Because initially, Dan Aykroyd had written this for him and John Belushi. Harold Ramis wasn't a part of it. Ivan Reitman got a hold of the script, then reached out to Aykroyd saying, I think we should bring in Harold Ramis as a writer, and eventually, you know, got them. Bill Murray came on after the Belushi unfortunately passed. But just small little backstory there, but some other initial thoughts, Greg?
I'm the same as you. I saw the second one before seeing the first. So I was really excited to go back and watch this film, see if it still held up. I mean, it's no Lost Skeleton, but it was fun. It was fun to go back and see.
Absolutely. Todd?
Well, I'm the old oh, damn it.
Whatever. you're the one that does the editing.
I just realized that. I saw this theatrically on a sneak preview the weekend before it was out. That's how long ago I saw it. So, of course, I saw this one first. I still own the Laserdisc, which I should have brought out, but whatever. It's probably right next to Private School, which will come up again later.
Was this what month? Any chance you know what month this came out?
December.
Oh, December. Okay, yes. So I was born.
It was. I'll tell you this. It was like the best month because I saw that and Gremlins a week apart, because Gremlins is a Christmas movie. It had to come out in December. So
it's not a Christmas movie.
Christmas spirit lives in it. So yeah. I've been in love since. It's a classic. I'm pretty sure the ratings are going to be across the board.
Yeah. Just before we get into those ratings, just some particular, I'll save the details after, like, favorite moments, just in case I bring out a detail and it's one of your guys' favorite moments. But I'll let one of you guys go first in this case.
I'm afraid we may all have the same, like...
Oh, I guarantee, like, I got it written down. Todd, how about you go first?
I'm going to go off one, the one bit. There's a lot. I really love this. Well, I can only say one. I'm going to go with the back off man. I'm a scientist. That line gets me every time.
Okay.
All right. I think the number one line from this film, Ray says, everything was fine with our system until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here. And then the mayor says, is this true? And Peter says, yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Yeah, I didn't bother. I know someone was going to do it.
Yeah. That is clearly the best line in the film. But funny thing is, William Atherton is actually upset with Ivan Reitman. He says, yeah, no, I got work after the movie, except apparently there is a huge busload of people that like called him out like, hey. And he waved back and I'm like, hey, guys, how you doing? And they all said, hey, Dickless. Just a busload of people yelled Dickless at him like, holy cow. So yeah, definitely the best line of the movie, but some just some stuff I wrote down that's just small details. When you had Ray coming up with the car and he's going over the list of everything that's wrong with it, and Venkman asks, how much? He's just only $4,800. The look on Venkman's face after he says the number is priceless. Like, just go back and watch that one scene where you can see his face just shift. It's absolute. That is brilliant. Not what the way you were using that word last week, Greg. Also, in terms of details in the commentary, Harold Ramis was saying that he made it a point to never smile throughout the movie. And there's actually a point when they're in the jail and he's talking about the satanic rituals that were going on, the sacrifices or whatever. And he kind of had like a smirk and they called him out on it. He says, well, that's because I was talking about these old rituals from, you know, and it kind of just worked in a way. It wasn't a full on smile. It was a smirk. Like, it was kind of evil in a sense, but
kind of giddy about what he was talking about.
Right. Exactly. Right. And it was the specific detail that's important to a film, you know, otherwise you just get a whole piece of garbage thrown up against a reel to reel. Also, when they were all eating the Chinese food after the petty cash, both Venkman and Ray were drinking beer. Egon was drinking a tab. That just cracked me up. And
I got one other part. I know you're trying to run them all off, but
I got like a couple more. The elevator scene at the Sedgwick, which is actually the Biltmore. The inside of it was, they used the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles. But the elevator scene where they turn on the pack and Egon, they just go to the side of the elevator, cracking me up.
You couldn't tell what the hell was going on VHS at all.
Oh, because of pan and scan.
It was so just like, it was.
Got it. But also, Venkman, wait, I always wanted to try this. When they're in the ballroom, takes the cloth off. The flowers are still standing.
Yeah.
Oh, and last one. Okay, don't look at the trap. I looked at the trap, Ray. Got that. So I took like a whole bunch, but yeah, no, I absolutely favorite.
You didn't mention one part that gets me every time that I think is kind of under, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but the shocking scene where Venkman.
Oh yeah, at the very beginning where you first see his Venkman. That was actually based off of the experiment was called the Milgram experiment,
yeah.
Where it was just to test the human's ability on whether or not they would actually shock somebody else.
Right.
But also, just going into the commentary real quick, the commentary featured Harold Ramis, Ivan Reitman, and Joe Medjik, who is an associate producer from the first and second one, who I think a lot of the was really just there just to point himself out in the movie. Because somebody could be mid-sentence and he'd be like, oh, that's me right there. Okay. Right on, dude. But John Candy was actually initially supposed to be the role of Louis Tully, was offered the role first.
He wanted to do some weird stuff with it, right?
He wanted to have a German accent and have two Rottweilers. And
that went everywhere with him, right? Isn't that the way the story goes?
Right, exactly. And then so Candy didn't get it. So that, and Moranis apparently had been like really, really into it. And you saw a lot of the dialogue that you heard was all his own. His scene in the apartment, everything about like, oh, I turned this into a business expense. That's why I invited my clients instead of friends. All him. All one shot, all him. And also the girl in the apartment, Lewis, I'm leaving. Well, maybe if we start dancing, other people will join in. They start dancing. That girl is Casey Kasem's wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was she was on Cheers a lot also. That's one of Sam's girlfriends.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wait, no, not Sam's girlfriends. She was married to Nick Tortelli, Carla's ex-husband.
Oh, okay. So,
sorry, deep cut.
No, that's fine. No, another thing Ramis had mentioned, this shouldn't be a surprise that there was a lot of working around the script. So a lot of improvisation that, again, that shouldn't surprise anybody.
That cast.
And they mentioned that on the set, what was great is that there was a competition in terms of who would think of the best line, not in terms of who would get it, because someone would think of the line and then you should say this, right? And then it would always be like who had the best line. Lastly, a thing I found so fascinating about this is how real Egon and Ray sound when talking about everything, right? What I completely, absolutely hated about Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk in the Avengers when I first saw him is that he was struggling to say scientific terms when you would see Robert Downey Jr. in the same scene just blow through him like nothing because he should be used to saying these things.
Right.
So that took me out of it. Again, details. So when you, so Ramis had said they actually brought in a somebody from Caltech or our university who had a degree in paranormal, right? And said, if ghosts actually existed, what would be the actual, or what would be the kind of devices that would detect them? And they mentioned, oh, changing odors, this would happen. You mentioned all sorts of stuff. So everything that they, like the devices, whatever, everything they wrote was, had some sort of substance to it. You know, and even especially with even trapping everything and then going everything with, they mentioned Dan Aykroyd really wanted to make sure that he, everything just made sense. And it wasn't just like, oh, we're just going to do this here, you know, because we, because they care about what goes into the film, you know, like it's fascinating. So now I could just jump into the rating. It's easy five for me, and not even just as a comedy. I think as an actual movie, if you really think about it, like, this has got to be one of the top 10 greatest American films, cinematic films. I would definitely put it on that list. I don't care what anybody says. Fight me on it.
It's fair, but I have to like try to put this up against other films. Yes, it's a five. Yeah. No, this movie's great. It's a lot of fun. I was a little worried it would be a little slow because older films sometimes have that issue where they do feel a little bit slower. But with this cast and just everything they put into this, it's still a fantastic film. So definitely a five.
All right. Do I want to do my thing I've noticed, the hot take for this one?
Or yeah, do you want me sure, to rate it first?
Okay. So Venkman needs to be canceled. I'm just saying that now. No, let me read this. Okay. It starts off with he sexually harasses Dana in her house. Okay, that's fine. He goes to where she works and harasses her outside of her job. Until the point she says yes to finally going out with him. She gives in, and that's it. And why did he show up to her house on his date with 300 cc's of Thorazine? What was he going to do with said drugs he brought on his date? Oh, and then at the end, when like she's coming out of like the devil dog, she's like out of it, and he's like forcing himself onto her. So I'm just going to say... yeah, Venkman's a bit of a...
It was the 80s. It was a different time.
Whoa. When I say that about private school, good, Ozzy defends these actions.
Totally different thing. Way different. How could you even consider them even in the same ballpark?
They're both sexual harassment.
Okay, so you're citing... Okay, you brought up specific examples about Venkman. What specific examples would you be comparing them to in private school?
Oh, I don't. That's for you to defend. Why am I going to help?
I don't understand the point. Like, I never said somebody in private school needs to get canceled. I didn't say Matthew Modine needed to get canceled because.
Well,
of
I'm not
movie.
Talking about his character. I'm talking about the character. I didn't say Bill Murray should be canceled.
There are no characters that are canceled.
No. Tell that to Apu.
By the way,
point Todd.
Okay, that's fair, but while we're on the topic, Spanish B is still there, so
I you know, that's because we can take a joke.
Moving on.
So with that said, it's a 5+. But yeah, I can't believe I didn't notice that before. I'm like, there's no part she's like giving back, you know, any of this unwanted attention.
Yeah, it is rather aggressive.
But this is how you did it in the 80s. I'm not.
Hey, at least it's not Snow White where a guy tries to like kiss a dead woman, you know, that he's only met once.
Girl.
Yeah, dead 16-year-old or 14, 16, underage.
Girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah, either way.
Child. Okay, so Snow White and Private School have more in common.
All right. So there is a Ghostbusters Afterlife film coming out. And I've been seeing a lot of commercials today, maybe just during football. And I got to say, I'm kind of worried.
Really?
I'm concerned. I'm concerned because if you just watch the commercial here, it shows the trap, right? And they're like, oh, should we touch it? Right. And then you see them touch it. You see something giant come out of it. And then you hear the line, did we just unleash hell on earth or something like that? And I'm thinking to myself, the light is green. The trap is clean. That's a line from the movie. Ray says, the light is green. Trap is green. So what that tells me is there isn't going to be a trap that is left unclean. You know,
well, it has to be put in the containment center,
yeah,
to be cleaned, and we don't know the passing of anybody. And if it were in the midst of maybe a ghost capture, which trap was not cleaned because of that?
So it could be an instance where it was the final ghost trap that didn't have an opportunity to actually go to the containment system.
Yeah, potentially.
Okay. Right. Okay. Now let me just accelerate the nerdery here.
Too late.
Yeah. Right.
This is a guy who didn't notice in the very first trailer that the books were stacked up horizontally. And I called that shit out and Ozzy didn't notice it.
What?
Nobody stacks books like that. Come on.
They actually,
it's a lot in the movie. Yeah.
They mentioned that in the commentary as well. Cause Ivan Reitman just had that idea driving up to the set one day. Said, hey, stack them horizontally because nobody does that.
And that's like, and that's in the trailer if you watch it. There's in the like the very first scene. I was shocked you didn't notice it.
Right. Not something I was wholly focused on. I was just
bad fan.
Shut up.
But this anyway. Is why he didn't like Lost Skeleton. He doesn't pay attention.
It's the details.
That's right.
Oh my God. Anyway. No, I just also did want to gloss over real quick the mentioning the Ghostbusters video game that was released in 2011, that actually featured a script written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, also featured their voices as well. Also Bill Murray and Ernie Hudson. You also had William Atherton as well. And in terms of, you know, what happened to that story, because it actually did play as a third, you know, taking place after the second movie. Several, I think, clips are on YouTube that actually just put these cutscenes together.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it really is just the first movie again. When you really come down here, you're just playing through the first movie all over, like Gozer comes back, you know. So you're not missing much. But in terms of just quickly going back to this Ghostbusters Afterlife, you don't get me wrong, I love Paul Rudd, but I'm just slightly concerned it might be trying too hard.
Well, there's gonna be a lot of member berries. That's just the way it is now. Tons of fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that's where also my major concern is, because the original was so unique in itself. You know, it was a good story. It just told a story, and this almost feels like it's trying to fill into something. You know,
I wonder if we're gonna have another Last Jedi situation. Like, it's going to really make people angry and divide them, which we're having right now with Halloween Kills, the exact same thing in the genre. So,
really?
Oh, yeah, it's bad. I'm saying the situation because I love the movie, but everyone else is like, it's one of those again. So, I've been calling it the Last Jedi of
the genre. Horror movies.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So, but does anybody like get resurrected and fly through space like Mary Poppins?
No. It's not scene specific like that. But okay. Some people would argue it's a whole thing. You go listen to.
But you would say there's nothing that isn't as stupid.
No,
as
I will
somebody
say
flying through space like Mary Poppins. There's nothing as absolutely moronically stupid as comparable to that.
But see, this is what I was talking about, because I like Last Jedi, and it'll make Ozzy mad when he yell at me. And it's like, can I just like it? It doesn't hurt the fact you hate it. Let me enjoy it if I like
That's
it.
That's right.
Okay, first of all,
I'm being dead serious. Why does your toxic fandom need to affect me?
First of all, you like whatever you like. That's whatever. I never am mad at you for that.
You tell me the reasons I shouldn't like it immediately after I talk about
how can you defend this.
The other day, few episodes ago, you told me I was wrong with the rating.
Okay, well, so, what rating was that? What episode was that?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, you don't remember. I'm pretty sure it was like Naked Gun. So I'm pretty sure I'm right.
No.
Anyhow,
it was.
I'm sure you said last week you rated it wrong too.
Yeah, I did. Boy, howdy.
But anybody, that movie last week shouldn't have been rated at all. Anyway,
it was rated
F for fun.
Oh my god, I'm thinking of another word. Anyway, you guys have any final thoughts when it comes to Ghostbusters here?
I mean, classic still holds up. I will always enjoy this franchise. Ultimately, with this new movie coming out, as long as it's fun, that's kind of where I'm at with movies these days. Why I like all the new Star Wars films and everything. Because if it's fun, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to nitpick at it, because that's what I go to the movies for, just to have a good time.
For fantasy?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the new one. But nothing compares to this one as of now.
No.
Two is two. I don't hate the remake. It's not great. It's in 3D, so that kind of gives it a few extra points for me. But yeah, Ghostbusters is a classic. I mean, it's like one of my favorite films, period.
It's hard to argue. It got to be on the top of a lot of people's lists. So that was Ghostbusters, and we're going to be back with a new episode. Actually, does conclude our horror comedy series for the month of October. And you know what's interesting, guys? Last year, we started in October with the horror comedy. So we've actually done a whole year of these stupid reviews.
And you didn't want to quit like last time with our old host.
Anyhow, we're going to be back next week.
I just have to say, I'm hungry for more episodes.
Now, and what else? Like, you had the look on your face like you're ready to say something else. What is it?
I'm excited for more. Aren't you, Ozzy? Like, this has been fun. I've really enjoyed this past year. I did see it on Facebook that the 1 year came up. I'm excited to keep
You had that look on your face like, oh man, I'm gonna suggest this movie and he's gonna blow his head up.
No.
Lost Cadaver.
But you would say the same, right, Ozzy?
Oh, 100%. Like, there's still, there's a lot of movies that we did, and there's still a lot of movies I want to do. So, yeah. I'm excited. I still think
one day we'll get to Dr. Detroit.
Hybrid action comedy. What's that?
One day we'll get to Dr. Detroit.
One day we'll get to Dr. Detroit.
Which is why I pitched the name, because of that movie. Because that's, like, my definition of farce.
Well, there you go. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any farcical comedies, or just any comedies in general you'd like us to watch and review, please let us know in the comments section. And thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back again next week. For Greg, Todd, I'm Ozzy V, and we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.